I'm Tracy from Stuff You Missed in History Class. Are you a small business owner or even someone who dreams of entrepreneurship? Then check out season 2 of Mind the Business, small business success stories from iHeart Podcasts and Intuit QuickBooks. Join hosts Austin Hankwitz and Janice Torres as they interview entrepreneurs sharing insights around starting and nurturing a small business. You won't want to miss these inspiring stories of entrepreneurship and discovering ways to business differently so you can too.
Planning your next trip? Choice Hotels' family of 22 brands has over 7,400 locations and the perfect hotel for any traveler you want to be. Like a Cambria Hotel, serving up locally inspired craft cocktails for all my folks who maybe want to meet up and talk about Mad Royals. Check into a Radisson Hotel with flexible workspaces for you strivers who listen during business travel. Or a Comfort Hotel with free hot breakfast, family-friendly pools, and big spacious rooms for the parents who listen with their kids and need a little retreat. What are you waiting for? Join Choice Privileges and start earning points toward your next stay. Find a stay for any you when you book direct at choicehotels.com, where travels come true. What does every grocery store aisle now have in common? Products that come in paper packaging. And not just the obvious ones like cereal boxes and juice cartons. From beauty products to boxed water, there are more opportunities to go papertarian than ever before. So why should you? Because paper comes from a renewable resource and can be recycled up to 7 times. Simply put, it's the smart choice for the environment. And it turns out the easiest choice for you. Learn more at howlifeunfolds.com/papertarian. When you think about the future, what kind of technology do you envision? Whatever the future holds, artificial intelligence will undoubtedly be at the heart of it all. Join Graham Class as he hosts season 2 of Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast, and hear from the minds transforming healthcare, retail, entertainment, personal computing, and more with the help of AI. Tune in every other Tuesday and explore the latest technology that's changing our world today and creating a more accessible tomorrow. Listen to Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Stuff You Missed in History Class from HowStuffWorks.com.
Hello and welcome to the podcast. I'm Tracy B. Wilson.
And I'm Holly Fry.
And we're going to do something a little different today, this early in the new year podcast episode. We get a lot of listener mail.
Yeah.
We've discussed this. We try really hard to answer it all and we mostly fail.
I know, most of it. I fall into that trap where I'm like, I'm going to answer this when I have 10 minutes to really think about an answer and not just dash something off when I don't have time to check my facts or like really think through a good response. And then
40 more emails come in.
10 minutes never happens.
Right.
So I really don't mean to slight anybody.
Yeah. We get a lot of emails that are on sort of the same theme. We get ones that are like, have you ever thought about doing an episode on such and such?
Yeah.
And that answer a lot of times is either yes or no. Like, it's not actually a satisfying answer.
We have thought about it.
Yeah. But, or we get a lot of, can you do an episode on, or will you do an episode on? And that answer is pretty much always maybe. Unless we happen to be actually in the process of researching that right now. That answer is pretty much always maybe. But there are some other ones that we really get the same question over and over and over again. And some of them are things that people are specifically asking us to talk about. So today, we have a selection of these frequently asked questions that we get from our listeners, and we're just going to answer all of them so that we can point people to this podcast in the future when we continue to get those same questions.
Yeah.
How does that sound, Holly?
That sounds delightful to me.
I'm actually pretty excited.
And also will probably be more fulfilling to the people that we never answer. I hope.
Yeah, I hope so. And I will, because a lot of these are questions that I have answered. Like, I've sent basically the same email a whole lot of times, and so I can tell it's one that there's some legitimate interest in. This first one, this particular email is from Heather, but it is a question that we get a whole lot of times, and she starts off by suggesting several different episode topics, and the last thing she says is, lastly, I'm wondering if you would ever consider recording a podcast about your podcast, specifically how you do the research for your stories. Are there certain websites that you can recommend to those of us who want to do research on our own? What type of libraries do you use? How do you get started? How long does the research take for any given podcast? And most importantly, how do you fact check yourself? I think I'm not the only listener that would be interested to hear about what you do behind the scenes. That last part is definitely true.
We get so many emails asking us how we prep and do our research.
Yeah, I think we start with figuring out what to talk about, and sometimes that is a laborious task.
It really is. Sometimes, I mean, the bottom line is that we have long lists. Both of us, we have one big list, and then we each have our own individual lists, I think. And I survey mine, and I try to find a thing that is going to pop out and just grabs me that week. And it just because something doesn't grab me one week doesn't mean it won't the next week. But in any given week,
yeah,
I really got to be pretty interested because you're going to be spending a lot of time with the topic.
Well, and usually when I write something on the list, I'm so excited about it. And then when I actually have the chance to
6 weeks later, when you go back, you may not have the same fire.
It isn't striking me quite as much anymore. So one of the things I also do to kind of narrow it down, and sometimes the opposite happens, is to look at what we've talked about recently and try to think of something that's different from that so that we're not covering the same exact subjects over and over.
Yeah, I do the same so that it's not all Victorian underwear every week.
As much as that would be awesome.
It'd be a very natural day-to-day thing for me. But
yeah. Well, and sometimes we do have little patterns where one thing will lead us to another thing, Like the recent episode that we had about the Hessians kind of led me into something that we're recording in this session today about the Battle of Hastings, because I just discovered that I enjoyed talking about the battle and I wanted to talk about another one. So we do have little patterns that emerge, but trying to find something that we haven't just talked about is another part of it. Once I have a subject, it's time for Google.
Yes. And I think you and I do a pretty similar thing here where we do a quick Google search initially.
Right.
And for me, I'd kind of end up writing out, usually in pen and paper, it's not even a typed thing, like a quick 4 to 6 point, I don't even want to call it an outline because that makes it sound way more structured than it is, but like kind of the points that I feel like have to be hit in that story.
Mm-hmm.
And then that guides the rest of the research.
I don't do that. Oh. Maybe I should. Because what happens to me is I sort of Google, and Google is kind of a gut check for me of, is there enough information about this person out in the world? Because sometimes it's clear as soon as I Google that there's a Wikipedia page and nothing else.
Yeah.
And that's probably not going to work. So if Google makes it clear that, yes, I'll be able to find information, then it's time for Google Scholar. The University of Georgia system has a database of stuff that you can get to with your library card if you're a Georgia resident.
Yep.
I use that to look at a lot of academic papers. I sometimes will get books, depending on if there are books that are in print and in our budget.
Yeah, I am. One good thing about the fact that we do a lot of history
mm-hmm.
is that often places like Amazon or Barnes & Noble will have ebooks that are free because they're basically either public domain or they're just elderly enough that they're really not journal profit. Those I'll get delivered right to my phone and I can be reading them on the train
commuting. I get archive.org or Project Gutenberg or things like that. Also, sometimes it really depends. Sometimes we're able to get something from interlibrary loan.
Mm-hmm.
I know I did that with the Hessians episode.
Yeah, because you could only find one really good book that you wanted.
Yeah, it was way too
expensive. Like one place in Georgia had it.
Yeah, there's pretty much one copy of the book in all of Metro Atlanta that they sent to me. So I spend a lot of reading and rereading and synthesizing stuff into notes. Sometimes at this point, it goes completely off the rails and I realize I've made a terrible mistake and I have to start over.
We have both been in that boat.
Yes.
Sometimes I am in that boat multiple times in 1 week.
I don't envy that.
I don't either. I don't want it to happen ever, but it'll be like, I'll get to a point and I'll just realize like this, there's no story here. Like we're just kind of, you know, it's facts and figures, which can be great. But if that's all you have and there's no more meat to it, it's not really very engaging. And if it's not engaging to me in the research phase, there's no way it's going to be engaging as a discussion.
Yeah. After the Red Wedding episode of Game of Thrones and everyone was asking us to talk about the massacre at Glencoe mm-hmm. and the, what was the other one? The Black Dinner, I think was what the other event was. People were asking us to talk about that. So many people were talking about it that I thought I don't really have anything new to add to what everyone is talking about right now. And I thought about doing an episode that was on the history of hospitality, which sounded really cool to me because when you have so many cultures that are based on really extreme climate or being kind of a migratory culture, the idea of hospitality tends to be really entrenched in the culture and really important. And I was like, we'll do the history of hospitality. That'll be awesome. And within an hour. I had this giant stack of papers, and it became immediately clear to me that that was not going to work. I had to pick something else. So
yeah,
sometimes it does become start over territory.
Yeah. Sometimes you end up on this raft of tons of general information, and there's no clear path to make yes. an actual thing out of it.
Right. That was the problem with that. It was never going to be soup.
It's just going to be some water
yeah.
and one bouillon cube and like a sad carrot.
That's exactly what it was. Once I have all that stuff, I start taking notes and working the notes into the story and reading and rereading the synthesized copy of notes to try to get it into something that's going to be cohesive and have a beginning and a middle and an end and all of that kind of thing. Making sure I got my facts right.
Yeah. I do a thing that drives my husband, IT people, anyone with a lick of sense crazy, which is that for all of my online resource, like I get all of my resources open at the same time.
Me too.
And like if I have books, I will have books laid out at the same time. I may have a thing pulled up on my phone. At the same time, I will have literally 30 tabs open in a browser. And then I try to incorporate, I'll review it because usually I've read it all before. And then I'll review it. And as I feel like I'm done with this item, I will close it. And so I can kind of get a constant visual of where I'm at in terms of my progress on prepping by how many big, messy sources are still open
right.
versus how much I've whittled down.
Yeah, we get a lot of questions about whether we use like Evernote or something to keep up with our research. And
I do not.
I don't either. I started at HowStuffWorks in 2005. And a lot of the tools that exist today weren't there yet or weren't quite ready for prime time yet. And so I just developed the system of bookmarking things and opening all my bookmarks in tabs, which is still what I do.
Yeah.
Even though there are much more sophisticated research tools now, that works for me. And that is what I do. Once I have this thing, the last thing that I do is the pronunciation check.
Yeah.
There is a lot of time spent on pronunciation checking. Which I think there are naysayers who think that we do not ever do.
We do. We're not always good at it
no.
when it comes back out of our mouths.
No.
But we do check it.
I remember with the Seishonagon episode, I was watching Japanese language things with subtitles to make sure that I got the words correctly. And then I sent every proper name in the entire thing to the boyfriend who speaks Japanese and has lived in Japan and like synthesized all of that
handy.
Into a comprehensive. And I think we only really messed up one word in that one, which made me happy that with all of that Japanese, we only made one complete mess up.
I also do. It's almost fact checky, gut check / dress rehearsal,
mm-hmm.
where I will data dump kind of the story on either my husband or a close friend and the questions that they bring up. Are ones where I'm like, ooh, I need to do more research.
That is, yes. I do that sometimes too.
And bless the humans that have to put up with me doing that. And sometimes even after we're done with the podcast, I'll want to keep talking about it and they get those too. So all the people close to me in my life, I'm so sorry. I've told you there was an incident at Dragon Con where I had a dream about Clyde Tombaugh during a panel and woke up going, Clyde Tombaugh!
I do remember that.
Nothing to do with what was going on. And then I really wanted to talk about it.
It's okay. The very last thing that I do sometimes as I'm seriously sitting here at the microphone is figuring out what listener mail I'm going to read and what article on How Stuff Works we're going to talk about.
Yep.
That's thing number last.
Yep.
So that's basically the process.
For me as well on that end point.
We record it on microphones. Our wonderful producer, Noel.
Who's very tolerant and sweet.
Yes. Our previous podcast, which was called Pop Stuff, we pretty much came in and sat down and recorded it in one take. That is not how this podcast works at all.
No, it's too easy to flub up a fact or a year or somebody's name, and you don't want that.
No.
And for as much as we do it, it would be really long and boring for people to listen to us go, whoops, and have to fix it again.
There's lots of fixing. So yes, that is the question of how we make our podcast. Thank you everyone who has asked that.
Yeah.
I did not think it would be enough to make an entire episode about it, which looking now at how long we've talked about it is totally true. I think you have one.
I do. This is a sample but we get many on this particular subject. So
anytime we're talking about something that is more than 2,000 years old,
yeah,
this we get this email.
From our listener, Richard, and he says, "Dear friends, I was so enjoying the podcast on ice cream until at 7 minutes and 2 seconds, one of you referred to a date as CE and I wanted to gag. I'm glad I wasn't eating ice cream." Me too, because that would be unpleasant. Both for the ice cream and for Richard. "Real historians don't use these made-up designations. BC and AD are universally understood and do the job quite nicely, thank you. BCE and CE are just obfuscators that serve no valuable purpose. I love the podcast, but would love it a lot more if you'd stick to more authentic designators of your reference. Using accurate terms to avoid using offensive and formerly common ones is great and to be encouraged. For example, Asian, African American, marriage equality, etc. But political correctness for the sake of political correctness is so last decade. Let's get with it. Thank you for listening to me moan. This one's a real pet peeve of mine."
We get this one a lot.
We do. We're not the only ones that do that.
No. So that's actually a standard that we moved to on How Stuff Works as a website after many years of following the Associated Press style standard of using BC and AD when talking about dates. So if you are unfamiliar with all these, what all these things stand for, BC stands for before Christ. AD stands for Anno Domini, which means the year of our Lord.
And you will also hear people say after death.
Which is not what it means.
No, but that's kind of their shorthand version of it.
Yes, that's also why when you look at dates, it's the AD part is supposed to come before the date because it's like the year of our Lord 2013.
Right.
Not 2013, the year of our Lord.
Right.
So BCE and CE stand for before the Common Era and Common Era. And there are, sometimes people will say that CE stands for various other things, but the general accepted notation is that it's before the Common Era and Common Era. And the whole idea is to be more inclusive of non-Christian people. When we were using BC and AD as a website standard, we did periodically get very kind and gracious emails from people who would sort of remind us that our visitors to the website are many, many of them not from the United States, from other nations where the predominant religion is not Christianity. I know that most, still the majority of people in the United States identify with Christianity as in some form as their religion, but that is really not the case in the whole world. So we made this decision thoughtfully after some pretty extensive consideration in order to be more inclusive and to recognize the fact that our audience is a global audience and not just an American audience. So that's thing number one. Mm-hmm. Thing number two is that usually when we get these emails, the flavor of the question seems to assume that BCE and CE are like a brand new thing that we just thought of within the last couple of years to try to be politically correct.
It's not the case at all.
That is really not the case at all.
Get ready, because they're shockingly elderly.
Well, just in the more recent time, when I was in college, most of my history and humanities and literature textbooks used BCE and CE as their notation. And that, at this point, was at least 15 years ago that I was reading them, which meant that they were published and edited and things like that prior to that.
Yeah.
But really, the idea of Common Era goes all the way back to the 17th century, and it was widely used in Jewish scholarship by the 18th century. And then BCE has existed since at least 1881. So this is a much older notation than people give it credit for. The other thing that we're giving people credit for is the ability to figure things out from context. I pretty much trust listeners to be able to figure things out from context and to not need to define every single thing that we talk about.
Yeah.
So while I get that it might throw somebody for a loop the first time they hear somebody use BCE and CE instead of BC and AD, I pretty much trust that people can figure out what that means. And if they are still confused, can go look it up. But now we have the definition right here in this episode.
Yeah.
For anyone who would like to have it.
Yeah. And it's one of those things I get, like, everybody's got a peeve. I have tons of them.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, at the end of the day, that's my peeve to live with.
And it's definitely a decision that we made to be more inclusive of everyone, not to exclude Christians, which seems to be
the concern sometimes.
Yeah, the concern sometimes
that
we
get.
No, it's definitely an attempt to be more broad in who we are speaking to.
Yeah.
Rather than more narrow.
So, hey, Tracy.
Yes.
Before we get to the next one, which is incidentally also kind of a criticism, do you want to take a moment and talk about our sponsor?
Let's do.
I'm Tracy V. Wilson from Stuff You Missed in History Class. Did you know small businesses make up 99.9% of all businesses in the United States? The world is powered by entrepreneurs. And if you're a small business owner or even someone dreaming of starting your own business, then you'll want to check out season 2 of Mind the Business, small business success stories from Ruby Studio, from iHeartMedia, and Intuit QuickBooks. And every episode, hosts Austin Hankwitz and Janice Torres talk to entrepreneurs about how they've grown from the lessons of launching and nurturing a small business and how they have found success being their own boss. From the excitement of first starting out to finding the right tools and resources to process invoices and payments like QuickBooks Money, you won't want to miss these inspiring stories of entrepreneurship and discovering ways to business differently so you can too. And if you're a small business owner or even someone dreaming of starting your own business, then you'll want to check out season 2 of Mind the Business, small business success stories from Ruby Studio, from iHeartMedia, and Intuit QuickBooks.
Planning your next trip? Choice Hotels has a stay for any traveler you want to be, with 22 brands and over 7,400 locations. Whether you're a business traveler, a family road tripper, someone who wants to seek out history and maybe make your own, or just planning a quick getaway, Choice Hotels has a stay for any you. Like a Cambria Hotel, where you can be a cocktail connoisseur and sip locally inspired craft beverages at downtown locations in the center of it all. This is a fun way to visit cities with a lot of history and a lot of fun in mind. Or a Radisson Hotel, for all our productivity powerhouses out there. With flexible workspaces and on-site restaurants, you'll get the most out of your work trip. You'll get the coffee, the Wi-Fi, and the work done. And we can't forget about Comfort Hotels. Imagine you're a family road tripper, waking up in your big spacious room and then heading down to a free hot breakfast for the entire family, including waffles. So you'll be well-fed and ready for the day's adventure, even if that's just relaxing. After that, you're spending all afternoon relaxing by the pool. You deserve it. What are you waiting for? Join Choice Privileges and start earning points toward your next stay. Find a stay for any you. Book directly at choicehotels.com, where travels come true. If you use paper, you're a human. But if you choose paper, you're a papertarian, someone who lives a paper-based lifestyle because it has a positive impact on the planet. And also because it's the easiest choice you'll make all day, seriously. It's as easy as reaching for boxed instead of bottled water. It's as easy as opting for beauty products that come in paper packaging. It's as easy as grabbing eggs in a cardboard container. And that's all in one trip to the grocery store, which, if everyone's being honest, you were planning to go to anyway. But paper isn't just an easy choice. Papertarians know that it's the smart choice, too. Because paper comes from trees, a renewable and sustainably managed resource, and paper products are designed to be recycled. In fact, when you choose products that come in paper-based packaging, those fibers can go on to be recycled up to 7 times. So why wouldn't you go Papertarian? Learn more at howlifeunfolds.com/Papertarian. When you think about the future, what kind of technology do you envision? Whatever the future holds, artificial intelligence will undoubtedly be at the heart of it all. Join Graham Class as he hosts season 2 of Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast from Ruby Studio in partnership with Intel. Explore the future of technology that's rapidly evolving our world today with the help of AI. There is still so much work and research needed to fully understand the power and potential of AI, and Intel is at the forefront of implementing AI in revolutionary technology that's changing the world we live in for the better. In each episode, Graham interviews the minds transforming medicine and healthcare, retail, entertainment, personal computing, and more, while pioneering new uses for AI in these spaces. Tune in every other Tuesday and explore the latest technology that's changing our world today and creating a more accessible tomorrow. Listen to Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Now we will move on to another somewhat critical question that we get pretty often. This is from Donna, who says, "Are you guys even looking at the iTunes feedback for the history podcast? I'm sorry to say, but the current women's voices are very tough to take. I've always loved the history podcast up until they started this year, but I just can't handle their voices. Please put some nice voices back on. Thank you." I try really hard not to look at our iTunes reviews.
Yeah, I don't. I mean, there's only so much it will accomplish other than making either of us feel self-conscious or cruddy.
Yeah.
That's what you got.
I sometimes check in on our iTunes reviews to see if the, like, if the tide of iTunes has turned. And the answer at this point is, like, it has shifted a tiny bit from when we came on the podcast, but just a tiny bit. If, according to our iTunes reviews, like, this podcast is circling the drain with listeners leaving in droves because you and I have terrible voices. And that is not the case by any other metric that we have.
Yeah.
Literally.
And I don't want to discount people that don't care for me. That's fine. You're totally entitled to not like me. There are certainly people, celebrities and radio personalities and just day-to-day people that I'm not wild about.
Oh, yeah.
Everybody's got that. But I don't... It yeah. doesn't seem to be playing out in terms of, like, our download numbers or...
No.
So...
We had a record-breaking month in October for the entire podcast.
Yeah.
Which was...
Just a hooray. Thanks
huge.
To our listeners.
Yes. One of the things that comes up pretty often is they don't have voices for radio. And I think the people who say that aren't listening to the same radio that I'm listening to, because I hear all kinds of voices on the radio and all kinds of voices in podcasts.
Yeah. Because they're real humans. It's not people that have been like, my goal in life is to be a DJ or to be a talk radio host. We're here because we're into history.
Mm-hmm.
And that's pretty much, you know, the jam.
Yeah.
I always take comfort in an interview I heard with Ira Glass once where he talks about how often he gets people that talk about how horrible his voice is and they cannot bear to listen to his various foibles and his, you know, throat catching and his ums. And he's
right.
Like, but I just kept going.
Yeah.
And I adore Ira Glass.
Ira Glass definitely has a very distinctive voice.
Yeah.
As does Sarah Vowell.
Oh, I love Sarah Vowell.
I love her so much.
I mean, to me, she's always going to be Violet Incredible. But even though I have seen her speak about Lincoln and other historical things, in my head, it's always Violet Incredible.
Yes. So for people who wonder, yes, we occasionally look at our iTunes reviews. Do not be concerned. We are not losing listeners in droves, in spite of what you may read there.
Yeah. And I you know... I worry sometimes that there's always this ongoing thing of like where people went and did
people. Oh yeah,
people still think that we fired Sarah and or Dublina and took over, which couldn't be further from the truth. We both love them.
Let's just dispel this right now. Zero people have ever been fired from Stuff You Missed in History Class.
Yeah, it's always been a case of people, you know, moving on in their careers, wanting to take on new challenges.
Yeah, some people have taken new challenges at How Stuff Works or Discovery, and some people have taken on new roles at other companies, and pretty much I've supported every one of those decisions.
Yeah, and we're still all pals. I was texting with Dublina last night about horrible television that we both love.
Yay!
I'm saddened when people think it's somehow a cover-up and we're sneaky and something bad has happened to those girls. I'm like, nope,
no,
they're good, and I still love them both.
Yeah.
So
well, and everyone from before, Katie also.
Yeah.
And Candace also, and Jane also. I'm like,
yeah, people from before my time at House of Works.
Yeah, we've had this podcast for a really long time, and consequently, as happens in jobs, sometimes people go to work somewhere else.
Yeah.
I'm Tracy V. Wilson from Stuff You Missed in History Class. Did you know small businesses make up 99.9% of all businesses in the United States? The world is powered by entrepreneurs. And if you're a small business owner or even someone dreaming of starting your own business, then you'll want to check out season 2 of Mind the Business, small business success stories from Ruby Studio, from iHeartMedia, and Intuit QuickBooks. And every episode, hosts Austin Hankwitz and Janice Torres talk to entrepreneurs about how they've grown from the lessons of launching and nurturing a small business and how they have found success being their own boss. From the excitement of first starting out to finding the right tools and resources to process invoices and payments like QuickBooks Money, you won't want to miss these inspiring stories of entrepreneurship and discovering ways to business differently so you can too. And if you're a small business owner or even someone dreaming of starting your own business, then you'll want to check out season 2 of Mind the Business, small business success stories from Ruby Studio, from iHeartMedia, and Intuit QuickBooks.
Planning your next trip? Choice Hotels has a stay for any traveler you want to be, with 22 brands and over 7,400 locations. Whether you're a business traveler, a family road tripper, someone who wants to seek out history and maybe make your own, or just planning a quick getaway, Choice Hotels has a stay for any you. Like a Cambria Hotel, where you can be a cocktail connoisseur and sip locally inspired craft beverages at downtown locations in the center of it all. This is a fun way to visit cities with a lot of history and a lot of fun in mind. Or a Radisson Hotel for all our productivity powerhouses out there. With flexible workspaces and on-site restaurants, you'll get the most out of your work trip. You'll get the coffee, the Wi-Fi, and the work done. And we can't forget about Comfort Hotels. Imagine you're a family road tripper waking up in your big spacious room and then heading down to a free hot breakfast for the entire family, including waffles. So you'll be well-fed and ready for the day's adventure, even if that's just relaxing. After that, you're spending all afternoon relaxing by the pool. You deserve it. What are you waiting for? Join Choice Privileges and start earning points toward your next stay. Find a stay for any you. Book directly at choicehotels.com, where travels come true. If you use paper, you're a human. But if you choose paper, you're a papertarian, someone who lives a paper-based lifestyle because it has a positive impact on the planet. And also because it's the easiest choice you'll make all day, seriously. It's as easy as reaching for boxed instead of bottled water. It's as easy as opting for beauty products that come in paper packaging. It's as easy as grabbing eggs in a cardboard container. And that's all in one trip to the grocery store, which, if everyone's being honest, you were planning to go to anyway. But paper isn't just an easy choice. Papertarians know that it's the smart choice, too. Because paper comes from trees, a renewable and sustainably managed resource, and paper products are designed to be recycled. In fact, when you choose products that come in paper-based packaging, those fibers can go on to be recycled up to 7 times. So why wouldn't you go Papertarian? Learn more at howlifeunfolds.com/papertarian. When you think about the future, what kind of technology do you envision? Whatever the future holds, artificial intelligence will undoubtedly be at the heart of it all. Join Graham Class as he hosts Season 2 of Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast from Ruby Studio in partnership with Intel. Explore the future of technology that's rapidly evolving our world today with the help of AI. There is still so much work and research needed to fully understand the power and potential of AI, and Intel is at the forefront of implementing AI in revolutionary technology that's changing the world we live in for the better. In each episode, Graham interviews the minds transforming medicine and healthcare, retail, entertainment, personal computing, and more, while pioneering new uses for AI in these spaces. Tune in every other Tuesday and explore the latest technology that's changing our world today and creating a more accessible tomorrow. Listen to Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This last one that I have is actually something that's really near to my heart, and that's why I keep typing out the same long, long answer every time someone asks me. And so this is from Kelsey. Kelsey says, "Hello, ladies. I adore your podcast. I've been listening since they were 5 minutes long," which is back in the Josh and Candace
days. Yeah, way early.
Anyway, I'm reading a book in my college English class, The Immortal Life of Henrietta Lacks. I'm only halfway through and can see 10 different podcast subjects that I think you all would enjoy. Henrietta Lacks is responsible for the polio vaccine, cloning, gene mapping, and so much more. Did I mention she was a poor black woman who died in 1951? This woman, better known as Gila, and her cells, stolen by Johns Hopkins Hospital when she went in for cervical cancer, her cells are still alive. But Henrietta remains unknown and her family didn't know about the cells until recently. People made millions on her cells, and her family can't even afford health insurance. The Immortal Life of Henrietta Lacks has race relations, power, and privilege struggles, and so much more. I hope you guys can do a podcast on her. Kelsey. Henrietta Lacks is probably the most requested podcast subject.
Followed closely by the Quints.
Followed closely by the Dion Quints. And these two stories have something really important in common, which is that they are all people who their story and their place in history involves having their privacy fundamentally violated by people who are in a position of power, right? So Henrietta Lacks, her privacy was fundamentally violated when her cells were removed from her body without her knowledge or consent and then used to make lots of money.
Yeah.
the Dion Quints were removed from their parents. These are a set of quintuplets who were born sometime in the past. I don't remember the exact year, but they were removed from their parents and basically brought up in this sort of laboratory situation as almost test subjects.
Mm-hmm.
Fundamentally, their privacy was invaded by...
Before they ever could have even had a consciousness to consent or not.
They could not.
They were
babies. And so in the case of Henrietta Lacks, she has kin who are still alive. In the case of the Dion quintuplets, there are, the last time I looked, two of them still living.
Yes.
I am not disparaging any work anyone else has done on any of these people. And even of the other angles on the story that, with Henrietta Lacks that people at House Stuff Works have done, like we have an article on HeLa cells.
Mm-hmm.
We have other podcasts that have been on HeLa cells. For the purpose of this podcast, though, I am much more inclined to allow Henrietta Lacks to have her privacy in her death, especially since there are so many other readily available materials easily accessible for her.
That's kind of my thing, is that we've reached a point where what more are we going to add to the discussion?
Yeah.
And there isn't really anything that doesn't already exist. And both of these stories have been publicized a great deal. You know, certainly because the book came out about Henrietta Lacks.
Yeah. Well, and
her life story is pretty much out there.
It really, and the book is a global bestseller that's been translated into like a double digit numbers of languages.
Yeah. It's not like a secret book nobody knows about. It's definitely
super
popular. Out there. And one of the reasons we get so many requests is because so many people are reading it, which is great.
And any episode that we would do would essentially be rehashing.
Right.
That story. And that's really not what I want to do in that kind of a circumstance. I think if you are interested in the life of Henrietta Lacks, you can get that book from the library or you can buy it in a store. There's also an audiobook version of it. There is a movie deal in the works that Oprah Winfrey is involved in. So that would naturally have access to a lot more than we could really do. And if you're looking for something that's more podcast-like, there is an episode of All Things Considered from NPR that you can listen to on the web for free. So there's lots and lots out there on Henrietta Lacks. And for a number of reasons.
It's not something that is not discussed and needs to be unearthed and examined.
Yeah. Yeah. The any examination we would be doing is actually a retelling of an examination that someone else has already done. And I would much rather let that person's work, which is Rebecca Skloot, stand on its own.
And with the Quints, it's kind of the same thing.
Yeah.
They've been covered in books, certainly on television, certainly on, in various periodicals and other publications. We're not going to add a lot to that.
Right.
That isn't pretty readily available to most people.
Yeah.
It's not like we're going to magically find some pattern recognition that exposes some element of the story that no one else has thought of before.
Yeah.
It's all been covered pretty thoroughly.
I keep agreeing with you.
Yes. I often just agree with you. So hooray for that.
So yeah, sometimes when I write that letter back to people, they are kind of angry and say, well, but her family wants her story to be known. And I am okay with that. And you know, I'm not trying to speak for her family. I'm just trying to speak for us and what we want to be able to put into the podcast versus what already stands pretty well on its own, which to me, that work really does.
So since we're doing this all about listener mail,
we're
not going to read listener mail.
Yeah, we don't have a separate listener mail at the end of this episode. But if you would like to write to us about any of these questions or anything else, you can. We are at historypodcast@discovery.com. We're also on Facebook at facebook.com/historyclassstuff and on Twitter at Missed in History. Our Tumblr is missedinhistory.tumblr.com, and we are on Pinterest. If you would like to learn more about Henrietta Lacks, who I know many, many, many of you do, we have an article on the website, which is one of the many things that I do feel pretty comfortable about. And if it were a science podcast that we were on, we might do that. And that is the HeLa cells that came about as a result of her medical treatment. You can come to the website, you can search HeLa, H-E-L-A, cells, and you will find how HeLa cells work, which is an article about the cells that came from Henrietta Lacks. You can do all that and a whole lot more at our website, which is howstuffworks.com.
For more on this and thousands of other topics, visit HowStuffWorks.com.
Looking to part ways with complicated, expensive, and uncertain shipping? Then give your business the edge it needs with USPS Ground Advantage shipping from the United States Postal Service. Keep everything simple with clear upfront pricing and no unexpected surcharges. Keep things affordable with some of the lowest prices out there. And keep it all reliable with on-time ground shipments. It's time to turn shipping to your advantage. Learn how at usps.com/advantage. USPS Ground Advantage. Simple, affordable, reliable.
Xumo Play is your destination for endless entertainment. With a diverse lineup of 350-plus live channels, movies, and full TV series, you'll easily find something to watch right away. And the best part? It's all free. Love music? Get lost in the 90s with iHeart 90s, dance away with hip-hop beats, and more on the iHeart Radio music channels. No logins, no signups, no accounts, no hassle. So what are you waiting for? Start streaming at play.xumo.com or download from the app and Google Play stores today. All you can stream with Xumo Play.
This is Malcolm Gladwell from Revisionist History. eBay Motors is here for the ride. With some elbow grease, fresh installs, and a whole lot of love, you transformed 100,000 miles and a body full of rust into a drive that's all your own. Brake kits, LED headlights, whatever you need, eBay Motors has it. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride the first time, every time, or your money back. Plus, at these prices, you're burning rubber, not cash. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
The wait is almost over. Get ready for the 2024 NFL season as the full schedule is announced. Bring it on. Every rivalry, every rematch, every rookie debut, every game revealed. The 2024 NFL schedule release, presented by Verizon, coming in May. Live on NFL Network, ESPN2, and streaming on NFL Plus. Terms and conditions apply to NFL Plus. Visit NFL.com/schedule release to learn more.